Okay, welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about satanic lies and deceptions. This is the second from the last lesson in this series. So next week is Easter, and we'll be having our brunch. And then the following week is the 12th, and that'll be the actual last lesson. So we've been doing a series, for those who are just visiting or haven't been here in a bit, doing a series on spiritual warfare. And so we did the world, the flesh, and now we're wrapping up, in a sense, the idea of the devil. And today is kind of in some ways, the highlight or the peak of that, because we're just going to do an inventory of satanic lies and deceptions today. So that's kind of our job. So we'll start out. We'll talk a little bit about Satan's core identity as a deceiver. Then we'll talk about the most common satanic lies. And then we'll get into some additional ones that don't always come to mind. We'll call that the bonus edition of satanic lies. And then we're going to wrap up with kind of an odd topic, and that would be aliens. And that's a big topic these days, and it's getting bigger and will continue to get bigger. And we need to have our wits about us, our spiritual wits about us, and that's what we want to be thinking about today. So any questions before we start? All right, so we'll talk about the deceiver, and our focus verse talked about none of us being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we could even say none of us being hardened by the deceitfulness of the enemy, which is kind of saying the same thing. And we know that the enemy, the Satan, the primary identity, the core characteristic, the core personality trait of Satan is deception. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. And we just have to have that in mind, especially when we get to the end of the lesson today and we talk about aliens and the idea of, you know, some weird things happening and in phenomena happening in our world. And we just have to have our spiritual wits about us. And number one way of doing that is just remembering that it's, as far as the enemy is concerned, it's all about deception. It's all about deception. So even in Revelation, we were reminded that the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And it's getting easier to deceive the whole world with the internet the way it is today, access, people all over the world have access, even in an inexpensive little cell phone. So we want to be mindful of that. Okay, so we're going to start the inventory. And I need your help with this. So I need you to tell me, what would you say are the most common satanic lies or deceptions, Dan?
All good.
Okay. All good. Okay. Excellent. Nice. Anybody else? Yes.
More than one God.
More than one God. Greater than one God. Okay. Good.
No hell.
No hell. Love it. No hell.
More than one way to God.
More than one way to God. More than one God, or more than one way to God. Okay. Yes,
Robert. You're not worthy.
Not worthy. Yes, Karen.
No absolute truth.
No truth. No absolute truth. Over this. Yeah, go ahead, Gabriel.
The physical world is more real or more important than...
That's the secular reliance. Yes.
The Bible has some truth, but it's not all truth.
Okay. I'll put here some quotation marks. Good. Yes.
It's too late to believe.
Too late. Yeah.
Satan doesn't exist.
Whoa! Okay. No Satan. Good. Yes.
We evolve.
Evolution. Thank you. Which denies creation. Good. How are we doing? One more. Yeah, yeah.
God loves everybody and wouldn't send anybody to hell.
Okay. No hell, and God loves everyone.
He does love everyone.
Yeah, so no hell. oh, no punishment. Yeah, good. Yes.
I deserve whatever.
Ah, I love it. I deserve. That's it. Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback on Jeff's with you a little different, that God's cruel.
God is cruel. You guys are good. I want to tell you, this is great. Yeah, go ahead. We are like God. Good. We. Okay. Yeah.
It's my best life now.
Best life now. Good.
You've lost your salvation.
Okay.
We are little gods.
That's good. I'm going to take two more if I get them. Yes.
There is no God.
No God. Good. I got one more. Oh, man, two of them popped up. Joe?
We found God.
Okay. What does that mean?
Well, you know, he chose us, but a lot of people say that, you know, God... You know, we found God.
Okay, so, and we'll put works. And then Robert, we're going to give you the last one. Go ahead.
You are being punished by God.
Okay. So anything that goes wrong, it's because you sinned and you're being punished. And sometimes it's true, right?
Yeah. But the flip side of that is, everything good that happens is because you're so good.
Yeah. See, I said I wasn't going to take any more. So who pops up with one over on the other side?
I suggest you take that one.
Tell me again. I wasn't really listening.
I know that.
Being punished is whatever something good is happening
good.
In your life or something
good.
Is going well, it's because you're so good.
Okay.
It's not, you don't recognize
God's blessing. Okay. All right. Well, let me do this. Let me just do the basics, the very, very basics in terms of what the Bible says. It's all familiar. This is familiar territory. By the way, this lesson today, if you walk out of here and you say, I didn't learn anything new today, that's okay, because we're just kind of gathering our thoughts together today, and we're taking an inventory. So the basics, all familiar to you, assuming you're a follower of Christ. You know, the temptation of the serpent. He questioned, twists, and contradicts God's command. He quotes Scripture but misuses it. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light and deceitful spirits. We need to be mindful of the deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. So, I know you like this part. This is the part where I consulted 100 ABF teachers from around the church and the world and asked them, and so let's see how close my survey came to what you said here. So we'll start with denying God's word. I thought that was up there.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Do you see it any?
Partly true, but not all true.
Yeah. Okay. Where's tell me when I get close. Ding, ding. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. So circle that. All right. Good. Okay. All right. And so God's word is not trustworthy. That's, you know, the very basic sort of, that's the starting claim. That's the declaration of war that came from the serpent in the garden. And we saw how not only does the enemy deny the trustworthiness of God's word, but then twists it around, which is what happened in the desert when Satan quoted Psalm 91, quoted it perfectly, except left out the part about, you know, acknowledging God's ability. So would I see a hand? Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, a very, very common permutation of this that I've seen a lot recently is the Bible, you know, the Bible was just handed out, you know, word of mouth. It was mistranslated all over the place.
Right.
So it can't be relied on.
Isn't that irritating when you hear that? Because such a lame thing, so not true.
So do your research. You'll
find out. Any, you know, exactly. You know, thousands and thousands of manuscripts, and not reliable. Okay, and we'll put a circle around that too. Okay, I know it's cheating because it's afterwards, but that's okay. So we got that one. All right, let's see how we did on the next one. God's not good. We had that one. God is not good.
God is all good. Second one.
Okay.
Those people are all good.
The people.
Well, we're talking about, yeah, so God is all good. That's going to hit another one in a minute, but God is not good. I saw something about that. God is cruel, right there. Yeah, God is cruel. Bingo. Okay. And so God is not really good. And so God is somehow withholding something desirable. And, you know, the serpent said, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So God is preventing you from advancing in your spiritual walk because you could be like God. And God doesn't want that to happen. And that, of course, that would be good for you to be like God. And so that's the lie of Satan, even from the garden. Your sin is too small. It doesn't really matter. I don't know that we've picked this one up, but your sins are just little sins. I've had a non-believer explain to me that, you know, when he dies, God's going to kind of like, you know, say, well, pretty much it was mostly good, so you're in, you know, which is not how justice works. I've never been, and I in my career and so on, I've been in court a lot, a fair amount, probably more than most people, and I've never, ever seen a judge say, you know what, you know, yeah, you killed this person, but all in all, you've done so much good, you're going to weigh it out, I think we're good, okay, you're good, you can leave.
Did you ever get that restraining order lifted?
The restraining order, exactly.
You might want to explain why you were in court a lot.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what I'm asking.
I happen to be an attorney, okay? So, spent a little time in court. And for Nancy, it was always a joke. I said, I got to go to court today. She says, what'd you do wrong, you know?
What did you do?
Okay, so your sin is too small, it's manageable, it's harmless. You know, God isn't that picky. God, and it goes back to the God loves everybody. Where's that one? God loves everybody. So God wouldn't be all that uptight if you messed up a few times or a few ways. The next one is related to that, and your sin's too great. We had that one too. Too late. Your sin is too great, and I think there was one other, lost salvation. You've lost your salvation. And so your sin is too great to be forgiven. We compare that to one of the most beautiful, it almost has music when you read it. It almost comes out as a song, Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Saves to the uttermost. There is no sin, and Pastor Bob always says, you know, he's a greater Savior than you are a sinner. And that's something that we get to rejoice about every day. What's the next one? Yeah, go ahead.
The quick corollary to that.
Yeah, thank you.
Is the other part of that lie is you have to do something more.
Do something more, right, thank you. Lost salvation, do more. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. All right, the next one, you can be spiritual without Christ. You can be spiritual without Christ. You can go out on a boat and, you know, float around on the water and listen to the water lapping up against the boat, maybe do some fishing, and you can be very spiritual in that. Spiritual, but not faithful. Yes. And so the core lie is that that's a false spirituality, a false light. So in 2 Corinthians 2, we see, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The spiritual, so-called spiritual experience. In fact, your best life now fits into that in many ways. Okay. What was the next one? You can neglect your holiness. You don't need to fight sin. You can just neglect your holiness, and it'll all work out. You don't have to be you know, that concerned. Just avoid the big bad sins and you'll be fine. You can neglect a little. This kind of goes back into the sins are, it's okay because they're too small. But 1 Peter 5 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so what is that? It's a call to arms. It's a call to battle. We need to be battling sin with everything we have, relying upon Christ, relying upon the Holy Spirit, but engaged. We can't just like sit back and figure we're in good shape. Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember what is antinomian.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Antinomianism means there's no real laws that need to govern that I can kind of go through life and just kind of navigate through life. And I think of it like a pinball. It's kind of like however life knocks me around, I'm still moving forward, so I'm doing good. But there aren't any real laws. Yes.
And that applies to someone who's a professing believer who thinks, well, I've trusted Christ, I can do what I want.
Thank you.
Specific to
believers. Thank you. You can have a believer version, you can have an unbeliever version, and the believer version is very troubling. Yeah, yes, Roger.
It relies on their one-time prayer.
The one-time prayer. Yeah, yeah. Dallas Willard called it be like a barcode, you know. I'm good, you know, and with the rest of my life, yes.
Or there seems to be a lot of so-called Christians who say, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't really go to church. I don't really go to church. It's just a collection of, you know, hypocrites.
Yeah, that's pretty much. You've heard this. Most of us have heard this. Yes,
yeah. Dave. Alluding to what the brother said there, decisional regeneration.
Okay, yeah. There was something similar, but we'll just add it here. Decision, regeneration. It's all in my will. It's my choice. And I don't have to rely upon God. All right. Another one is God has abandoned you. God has abandoned. What a terrifying thing. And yet this is something that people will have. People have this. They don't share it with you readily, but it's something in the back of their minds. It's kind of like my sin is too great. God has abandoned you. And of course, we know that that isn't the case. Keep your life from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Okay.
One more thing. That's big. We see that a lot when someone has been raised and been indoctrinated with word of faith, prosperity, when something goes wrong.
Right.
Not that they've sinned, but God, I haven't been healed, so God's not here.
Yeah, so what Tony is saying, I don't know if everybody heard, but you know, when you buy into a word of faith or sort of a healing kind of ministry, and so nothing's supposed to go wrong, because if you have enough faith, then you should be okay. And I don't know how that works, because everybody dies at some point of something. But that's kind of like ignored, I guess, because everything's supposed to be just great if you have enough faith. And what Tony was reminding us is, if you've bought into that and then the wheels fall off, well, you must not have had enough faith. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the same kind of teaching. It's like the sickness and disease was all on the cross, and you shouldn't have battle that you should have to deal with.
Right.
It's by your faith that you're healed.
Yeah.
And they take that as a physical healing.
Yeah.
It's preached behind the pulpit in some of these places.
Yeah. So to the point, my brother years ago was involved with basically a cult that bought into all that, and they didn't wear glasses, eyeglasses. Oh. And I thought, man, I don't want to be on the road when they're...
What was your brother doing for a job at the time?
I don't remember.
He was a semi-truck driver.
Oh, yeah, he was a driver.
A really interesting situation happened with Bethel a number of years ago, where one of the main pastor's daughters got sick with cancer and was expected to die. And, you know, they had overnight prayer vigils and all this stuff, and they spent days and days and days and weeks praying, you know, praying for healing, expecting a healing, accepting a healing. She ended up dying, and basically all that came out of that was just, well, God is so good. Can we keep on going?
Okay, so there was no effort to kind of map that back to the Word and figure something out. It was just like, well, we prayed, and I guess it didn't work, so let's just keep moving on. Were you going to say something, Eunice? Somebody.
She got healed.
Oh, she got healed. Yeah, she was a believer. She got healed. Yeah. All right. One last one from my consultation with 100 ABF teachers. Self-exaltation. And I know we had that one, too. You deserve. In fact, Kathy, you used the word deserve. Anytime you hear the word deserve, anytime you hear the words I deserve, your red flag should be waving violently in the wind. Why? Because what do we deserve?
Hell.
Thank you. Thank you. And so, and oftentimes that goes along with some kind of a self-exaltation. One of the things that I've been kind of dealing with a little bit in my thinking about Mormonism is, you know, the goal of Mormonism is exaltation. That's the ultimate goal of Mormonism. You know, just how can you possibly map that back to anything in the Bible about deserving? So anyway, so here's a quick question, and then I want to get into the bonus edition, which you can find on your handout. So I'll be going through that kind of quickly because I want to get to the UFOs. Why should we do this inventory? Why should we take the time? This is all, I mean, people's hands are popping up all over. This is familiar, it ought to be familiar territory. So why do we want to take a moment, put a pause on it, and just do a quick inventory? Dallas?
So that when we see an occurrence of something because of the inventory that we've just taken, we'll be able to spot some of those things.
Thank you. Be able to spot it. And usually, I think what you're talking about, Dallas, that you're inferring is that this is happening when I'm having a conversation with a non-believer. And I would encourage us to think about it this way. When you're trying to witness to a non-believer, maybe what you should include as a goal, not necessarily the ultimate goal, obviously, but as a goal, is to get to know that person well enough to figure out what lie or what lies they are relying on.
Yeah.
That's the goal. We want to find out the lie.
I want to tell you about this experience I had earlier this week. Well, last Wednesday. So I went to Kroger's and I'm shopping. It was this lady in there and she offered me a card. So I took the card. But when I looked at it, it was a lady with this crystal ball and all of this. And I looked, and she had already walked away. And I said, oh, Lord, I can't take this. Or instead of me tearing it up, I just laid it down. So
you did what?
I just laid it down.
Oh, laid it down, yeah.
I don't do this. So after I got finished shopping, she was outside at the door, like waiting on me. And she looked at me and she said, my spirit led me to you because you've been wanting to know a lot of answers. Mm. And I said, you right. I said, God led you to me because he wanted me to tell you about Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Jesus is the answer. And she looked at me like this. And then I kept on talking to her about Jesus, and she looked at me, and as I was talking, she said, oh, I know about Jesus. He did miracles and all of this. And I said, and he's still doing it today.
There you go.
And then she ended up saying, well, you just pray for me. I didn't get her name, but she said, you just pray for me. I said, I sure will. And she said, and you have a good day. And I said, thank you.
There we go. Thank you.
God is good, but you know what? My heart and my soul cried out for her.
Amen.
As she asked me to pray for her, she just don't know. I was praying as I was walking to my car.
Amen.
I started praying. I prayed when I got that car.
Amen.
And I looked at it and I said, oh, Lord. I just started saying, no weapon formed against me. Mm. And I started saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, oh, Father God, that you just deliver her and bring her out of this witchcraft. Because I told her, I said, God don't like that. That's what I was continuing to tell her.
Yeah.
I said, God don't like that. He don't like that witchcraft and sorcery and all of that. And that's when she kept looking at me like this.
That was
her answer. So she was probably looking for answers.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let me take Roger and then come back to Robert. Yeah, go ahead.
If you know the plans of your adversary.
There we go.
You get in front of him.
There you go.
Prepared for him.
That's good. It's basic strategy. Get, you know, and the plan is there. It's in front of us. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, we should be alert to Satan's lies because we're supposed to seek first the truth. Can't control what thoughts come into our head, but we don't have to believe them. See if they're true or if they're Satan's lies.
Amen.
So that they don't linger in our thought process.
Very good. Shella?
So ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims. And so we have to, so if you know the truth, it's one thing to know the truth, but do you really know reality? So because you may know truth, but if you don't operate in that, you will be a victim.
Very good. Okay, let me do this. Your handout has these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to fly through them because I want to get to the UFOs and the UAPs. This is a bonus edition. These are additional ones, some of which you picked up and some which we didn't. Gabriel picked this up. The world is more real, urgent, or satisfying than God, and yet faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and we know that the fullness of joy is at the Lord's right hand and pleasures forevermore. The next one is God's sovereignty cannot be trusted. We kind of already covered that in terms of God cannot be trusted. Oh, by the way, I'm getting these from this last stretch from a book by a guy named Wilson, Jared Wilson, The Gospel According to Satan. It's an excellent book, and it goes through, these are chapters in that book. So God wants you to be happy. And, you know, that one's a dangerous one because many times people rely upon believers, you know, rely upon something like the four spiritual laws, which is a tract, or you can find it online. The danger is that the first of those spiritual laws is what? God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. Well, you can, that's open to interpretation.
Right.
And, you know, I can decide for myself what I think is a wonderful plan for my life, and it might not be exactly what God might have. You only live once, which, of course, you know, even Jesus, when he said the famous, you know, saying, what does it profit a person if he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Next one is, you need to live your truth, which we also picked up on, saying truth is subjective. The next one is, your feelings are reality. This is a terrible one today, and especially it seems, unfortunately, in some of the younger folks in our midst, the millennials or whatever, Gen Z, is that they've been taught, it's not their fault, but they've been taught, it's all about your feelings. And so we don't want to dare, you know, say something or do something that might trigger your feelings. So, all right. Your life is what you make it, but we read in the Bible that it is the Lord's purpose that will stand. The Lord establishes our steps. You need to let go and let God. This is one of my favorites because it sets aside this whole idea that this is a spiritual war and we need to engage. The cross is not about wrath. Somebody picked up on this one. I was very impressed that you picked that up because that is portrayals of God's divine anger makes him to appear petty or abusive or cruel was one of the words that came up. And then God helps those who help themselves. That's the theme of our culture. That's what we teach our kids. Our culture teaches our kids. God helps those who help ourselves. And there certainly is a call upon us, as we've said, to be diligent and engaged. But at the end of the day, Christ died for the ungodly. And my help comes from the Lord. At the end of the day, I can't do anything. Anything I do, I couldn't have done without the Lord. So, all right. I'm going to do real quickly the Aliens edition of Satan's Lies. And we'll start with this.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. The whole thing, dude.
The newly released video captured by a U.S. Reaper drone shows a glowing orb off the coast of Yemen. Suddenly, on the left side of your screen, you see a Hellfire missile zip in, strike that unidentified object, and bounce right off it. When we slow the video down, you see the Hellfire missile continue to travel on its path. So, Congressman Eric Burleson shared the video at a House Oversight Committee on what the military calls unidentified aerial phenomena, better known as UFOs.
That's a Hellfire missile smacking into that UFO and just bounced right off. And it kept going.
It kept going, and it looks like the debris was taken with it.
Yeah.
Does this video scare you guys? Yes or no?
Yes.
Wiggins?
Yes.
Yes.
Does it scare you?
No.
No. God is sovereign. And it goes back to the question that was asked earlier, what is real? So are UFOs or UAPs, unidentified or unexplained aerial phenomena, are they real? Yeah, they're real. But what does that mean to us? And we need to know, we need to have our wits about us, because this thing is getting bigger and bigger by the day. In fact, the government, I don't know if that has to do with aliens extraterrestrial or not, but the government just reserved the website aliens.gov. So, and the Pentagon, you've got these in your handout references. There's a lot of reports from several different agencies about UAPs and UFOs. Yeah.
I was in the military in Saudi Arabia during Desert Storm, and we were having a conversation, and everybody asked, do you believe in UFOs? And one of them said to me, that knowing that I was a Bible believer, they said, "Sarge, do you believe in UFOs?" I go, "Yeah." "What? Really? You do? Well, explain yourself." I said, "Well, it's an object, right?
Yeah.
It's in the air, right? Yeah. It's unidentified, right?"
There it is.
There it is. I'm okay with not knowing exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly right. So part of the problem, of course, is that millions of people are getting all worked up about this. And 20 million people in the U.S. claim they've seen a UFO of some sort. 20 million. 4 million claim they've been abducted.
Oh, boy.
So we kind of have to ask ourselves, I'm going to go right to this. What is this? Is this a lie? What's going on? And so one thing to keep in mind, let's get our bearings from the Bible. First bearing is there's two realities described in the Bible. There is the visible and the invisible. There's no third category. And so we'll start there. And then a second part of the Bible, all things are created by God, visible and invisible. And we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. We just spent 18 lessons so far talking about spiritual warfare. And that's the real reality that we need to be mindful of. And another thing that we need to be mindful of is a spirit does not have flesh and bones. It goes back to the visible and the invisible. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. So UAP behavior, instant acceleration, passing through matter, not having a signature of heat, not having any controlling kinds of wings or guidance on the vehicle, they don't match physical entities. So it's not, it's something other than a physical entity, even though we see debris and things like that. In fact, we have this idea that Satan can't interact, the enemy can't interact with the sort of the hard natural reality that we're familiar with. The other thing, and I'm going to fly past this, there's been a lot of false messages. If you look carefully at the messaging that comes out of, especially people who claim to have been abducted, number one, almost invariably, they have to be hypnotized in order to remember. It's like the Men in Black, their memory has been destroyed, and they have to be hypnotized in order to recover it. Well, that's problematic right there. And then secondly, other anecdotal evidence comes to us that when people call upon the name of Jesus, it changes the whole battlefield. It changes the entire environment. And so there are signals to us that this is just another part of spiritual warfare. We know that Satan can generate false signs and wonders, and we know that spiritual deception can appear as a light, and we know that false entities will perform signs to deceive people. So the point I really want to make is that these phenomena could be demonic, could be. And many of the authors on the list that I've given you on the back of the handout, that's what they say. It could be. Billy Graham. It could be. Okay? But it is not ET. It's not extraterrestrial. That's a very important distinction. we can be confident in claiming that it is not from some other planet. I'm not going to get into the science of that, but the science backs that up entirely in terms of speed and everything else. So we know it's not extraterrestrial, and it could be demonic. And if we walk away today with that in mind, as we hear about aliens and all this kind of UFOs and UAPs, I think we've gotten somewhere. I want to end with a non-believer. This is a professor at Harvard named John Mack, who did 10 years of research, and he came to the conclusion that, this is a non-believer, came to a conclusion similar to that of other researchers, secular and not, namely that aliens are interdimensional, not extraterrestrial, but interdimensional. That's kind of what we're trying to say here, is it's not extraterrestrial, it looks like it's interdimensional. So let's have that in mind. I'll take questions on this. I'm up here afterwards, and I'll be back in 2 weeks if you have questions. But this, let me just have you walk away with that, is Satan is deceptive, and these UFO, UAP appearances have all the earmarks of something spiritual. We would call it spiritual. Secularists would call it interdimensional. And then God is sovereign. And God so loved this world, God so loved this world that we put our feet on, that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish. That's all that really matters. That and not being caught up into the panic and the fear and the speculation that this alien, the alien stuff, I'm telling you, it's going to increase. We just want to have our spiritual wits about us. I'll take one question before we're done. Dan?
One comment is kind of jovial at the end. Don't make fun of me, okay?
Took away our fun.
I was 12 or 14 years old. I was doing a free press route. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and I seen this thing right above me, and there was no sound, and it was light, and lights were going around. It was going like this, it would stop, it was going like this, it was right above. And I jumped in the bushes. Now, what is that going to do? Absolutely nothing. But I'm 12 years old, I jumped in the bushes, I'm waiting until this thing passes and it goes away. Now, I live on the east side, it was in Grosse Pointe that this route was. You've got Selfridge Air Force Base, but I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking this could have been a helicopter, this could have been new technology, whatever. But in my mind, 12-year-old, I'm thinking alien. I'm thinking UFO.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a UFO. Literally, it was a UFO. Unidentified flying object or unexplained aerial phenomenon. Yeah. If you look in the handout, I even have a mention of submersive, because it transitions among media. It'll be in the air. It can go down into the water without splashing and come up out of a mountain. So it certainly is interdimensional. Father God in heaven, we are so grateful for your word. We gain our bearings. We find our balance. We stand firmly on your word. We stand firmly on the rock. And the world can just get crazy around us, and we need to seek out the lies that people are living by and bring truth to them, as Kathy has demonstrated in her story today. Lord, help us to have that mindset as we go forward. And we ask this in Jesus' name.